You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey guys, I'm Nick.
And I'm Ant.
And we're the New Gays.
I'm Frank.
And I'm Dan.
And we're the Old Gays.
And this is Old Gays, New Gays.
This is the podcast where we compare all things gay through the lenses of two generations of LGBT couples.
And today's topic, everybody, is gay life hacks. Ooh. So this episode, yes, we're going to help the gays out. Whether you're new to being gay or been a gay for centuries, we will give you guys the best life hacks there are. So about grooming, dating, relationships, bottoming, a lot of different advice is going to be said today, a lot of different hacks. So yeah, I'm very excited, and I think we should start off with the first hack category being grooming. Mm-hmm. So oh, I know, tops don't groom, so he knows nothing about that.
I like to stay natural, guys.
Yeah, very natural. Yeah.
Too natural.
Unlike Ant, though, I'm a pro at grooming. I've been grooming for years.
You're a grooming girl.
Oh, yes, I am. So let's start off. I think a nice hack to start off with is for people that are new to being gay and are wanting to be clean shaven down there. I used to not know because no one told me this hack, but I used to just shave my peach. Let's just use friendly words here. Yeah. My peach with a razor.
Ooh,
and ouch. Not even like, oh, sometimes not even like use any sort of shaving cream or anything.
Oh,
just like pure, because no one told me. Like, that's what I assumed. And then every time I would shave, the day after, I would have loads of these like red spots, like red, yes, acne kind of things all over the part where I shaved on. And I never understood why, and I thought it was just my skin. I thought it was just for me. But no, even women will be able to relate with me on this. If they shave their legs or whatever, that happens to everybody. So my life hack is, don't use a razor to shave your peach. Use an electric razor. So Ant has one. It's pretty good. Oh, it's like a one blade, whatever. Yeah. It's not sponsored, but it's really good. And every time I shave with that now, there's no red bumps or anything. Or I will say this as well. If you don't have a shave, like an electric one at home, and so you really need to be clean shaven that night, and all you have is a razor, use as much cream as possible. Do not use hot water. And make sure to lotion after you shave with a razor in that area.
You're such a new gay.
Wow.
Like, how did you not know?
Wait, did you guys not know this?
No, actually, I have a question and a comment on that. So are you talking about just upper peach or full peach? So I'm
full
talking
peach.
The bag that you buy the peaches in.
Wait, what do you think? Oh, I'm on my butt.
The bag that you bought the peaches in.
I thought you were in the...
Are you on about a supermarket?
You're on butt cheeks.
Have you never heard about a peach emoji? Do you not know what a peach emoji is?
No,
the generational differences are really showing in this episode.
Yes.
No, I meant my butt. That's why I was like, girls too. Okay. Like, you were like, girls?
All right.
And I think they have balls. But
ingrown hairs are painful when you use a blade. It's absolutely a no-no. It's going to be painful. Rash and
rashes.
The only thing I was going to add to yours is some gentlemen may want to go further. It's not only a gay thing now. A lot of straight guys are completely shaving off all of their body hair. And just if you're going to use an electric razor on certain parts of your body that can shrivel and wrinkle and stretch, that can also cut your skin. So just be very careful what tools you're using on all parts of your body.
There are electric razors, though, that are meant specifically for that.
Yeah. Yes.
So
there are.
It's almost impossible to cut yourself because they're so delicate.
I mean, there's a lot of them.
So it's worth the investment. However, quality comes first when it comes to that.
Yes. You've got to make sure that you're actually replacing the blades, because it doesn't matter what you're using, even the ones that are meant for those areas. Mm. Yeah. If that blunt is blade, you are slicing and dicing down there. Okay.
But I think also to back up on this category of grooming, a lot of gays as well and girls get waxed. And I've got quite a funny story. Mm. So I went to go see my ex for the first time. Oh. So this is before I met Anne. So I had a boyfriend that lived in the UK.
That's not funny for me.
Sorry. The story is really funny though, so you'll like this.
Okay.
So before going on this big trip, you know, my girlfriend said, Nick, you need to get waxed down there. Boys love it when it's cleanly waxed. And I love her. So she goes, Nick, I'm going tomorrow. Let's get waxed together as like besties. And I was like, this is really fun. Like, let's do it. I know. No, not same room. A separate room. Sorry. Both came out like wobbling. Anywho. So I had my first ever waxing experience. And here I am. But the thing is just weird because she puts you in a room and she goes, I'll leave the room, but take your clothes off. Right. And so I'm like, okay. But then when she comes back in, she just sees you fully nude anyway. So I'm like, whatever. But I was like trying to hide it. But she's like, oh, just move your hand. I'm going to have to. So anywho, I got waxed. It was extremely painful. I got a Brazilian. So that's not the story though. So anywho, so after I got that done, it looked great. You know, I told my bestie, I was like, this is amazing. But I got to get home and shower because I'm like so fucked right now. Like I need to shower this off. I just feel gross now. And when I showered, no one told me. And I told the girl that was there. It was my first time getting waxed. So she should have said something, but didn't say anything. But I showered with hot water.
Oh no.
So the next day I packed for the airport. My whole body where I got shaved is covered in these like acne, like red spots. And I'm going, he's going to think I have STDs or something. He's going to think I've got gonorrhea. I am so fucked. So I had to look up all these things like last minute, how to get rid of them. Yeah. So
anyway, you're not together anymore.
Hack number two, if you're getting waxed, don't take a hot shower. Even if you're shaving with a razor, don't do hot water. Always do cold water.
They didn't tell you this though.
No one told me. Right. This is what I'm saying. If I had this podcast when I was a young gay, I would have loved this.
You're actually meant to take a hot shower before to open up the pores and soften it, right?
Yes.
So you take hot shower before, not hot shower after. Cold
for,
shower.
For a day. It's just a day. It's not forever.
But I've like...
I know.
For me, it doesn't matter. I can shave with my little razor and I'm like good getting into every area. Take a hot shower if I want to. No problem. But the only thing with the razor is it doesn't get like super deep. Like this stubble under here, it will grow back into stubble in a day.
Yeah.
And so you're lying. When you shave your peach with a razor, you get bumps too.
Well, I can't. My eyes are not back there. Your eyes may be.
So. I'm telling you.
And he stayed with you.
Guys, if you're listening, this is every human has this problem. It's not just you because you're special.
And he knows because he can see.
exactly.
But you never had a back sack and crack, have you?
Excuse me?
That's when I got waxed, It was a Brazilian.
No, be careful. Be careful. Do you know what a back sack and crack is?
No.
It's everything.
It's a whole body.
You wax everything.
That's what I got done. Do you know what a Brazilian is?
I thought a Brazilian was just the top part of your
hair area. Oh, no, it's the whole thing.
The Brazilian's everything? Okay, well, see, I'm learning.
That's why I said it was extremely painful.
Okay.
You were probably like, oh, pussy.
So I've never done that. No. I've done my back and my arms, and I've never done the back sack and crack.
Probably because you can't reach it with it.
No, like, I would never do it again. I would just use a razor, like an electric razor now. But anywho.
Let me ask you this really quick, because is it now so in fashion that you guys at your age would expect that? Because at our age, it really wasn't – people did it, but it wasn't common. And I thought now it was becoming a real trend for everybody.
I feel like it's – dependent on loads of people. People who are into hairy guys that don't trim anything, and there's some people that the opposite, they're into just pure manscaped or no hair whatsoever. Yeah. So I guess it's what you're into and what you like. Again, it's about yourself as well. What do you like, regardless of others?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reason for me, like, I do like to be clean-shaven to a certain level. But I think especially when you get new to being gay, and it's why I said this life hack first, because there's a lot of new gays listening in.
That's a good one.
Is they want to be clean, and they don't know how to go about it, and they might go with ways that might screw them up, like happened to me, right? So it's just to take precautions and
your taste changes over time.
Like, yes.
If I look at when I was, let's say your age, I was much more, I was clean shaven and all sort of stuff. I liked that. It looked good on me. Mm. And as you grow older, then you know, a little bit of facial hair and all sort of stuff looks, I think it looks
well,
good.
Well, as you grow older, sort of hair just comes out everywhere anyways. So
oh,
you
I'm
have to start waxing
well,
your ears and your shoulders. And
now that you guys
wait,
are,
it's coming.
Yeah. Now that you guys are older, because you like, Nick's barely growing any facial hair, and I'm sure, like, I'm at the stage where I'm okay to shave here and there, but I might get over it. If I'm your age, are you guys just, like, over manscaping, trimming, and you're just like, I'm going to embrace my beard, despite, like, when you're younger, you didn't
have it? I mean, I do give myself a little trim, so I don't want it super long, so I do maintain the beard, but I like that kind of little bit of facial hair as sort of a natural look for me. I think that I didn't do that when I was younger, but I find now it's... Hopefully it suits me.
I think it's very much also a trend of the time, right? I think guys started wearing beards again about 4 or 5 years ago, and it became and barbershops started popping up everywhere with long, full, steamy beard treatments. I do think one thing changed pretty dramatically between our generations, though, is it was really unusual for somebody to go into work unshaven when we were younger.
Really?
Yeah, and I think now people are very casual. You can go into work with, you know, a full beard, a trimmed beard, and so we kind of had to groom for work as well as, you know, whether you wanted to or not. So.
And over the years, we've done different things. We've just sort of added to the palette of stuff that we do. So we, you know, what we used to do it more before, but we'd go for a manicure pedicure, which was really good. And then, you know, you look at, and once you get into that, actually your nails look really good, really smart and all that sort of stuff.
But you know what? Even straight men now, it's becoming a trend for them to do their nails. And so, you know, I think it's just, we did it first. Well, I'm saying gays as we, but
gays
we did
girls.
Gays and girls. Well, gays were the first like males to do it. And so that we almost paved the path for straight men to be able to paint their nails and stuff. Because as well, what's been reverted is straight men brought mustaches back to the gays. Because now we're seeing a lot of gays with just like mustaches.
Yeah, so that was big in the 70s.
Yeah.
The 70s gay mustache was always a thing.
I mean, everybody had it. Even when you go to, at the time, discos, every guy.
Village
had
people.
A,
exactly. YMCA.
Oh my god. Or what's back now is mullets.
Oh no.
My fucking god. No. Everyone has a mullet now.
No.
It's kind of hot on some guys. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Depending on the individual, it could look actually quite cute. But it doesn't work for most people.
No. Yeah.
I think, it's a certain.
See you mullet. Next week with mullet.
We'll see how that goes. Don't tune in.
So,
please.
Life hack, don't get a mullet.
I think the short mullets are okay. Those long, scraggly, rat-tail mullets.
No, those are horrible.
To anybody out there, I'm sure it's beautiful.
Sorry if you're Australian.
Yeah, they love a mullet. They love a mullet. But, like, again, like it looks hot on a lot of them, so, like, I get it.
Yeah.
Right, is that enough on grooming?
Sorry, background.
Our whole background is...
I wanted to add a last point, because you haven't mentioned this, and this was so common when we first met each other.
Mm.
You... And I guess a lot of other twinks out there that wanted to be clean shaven.
Oh, no. This is going to be in the sex.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
Huh?
No.
Oh, sorry. We have some more exciting things coming later. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not going to spoil the plans for later.
Oh, perfect.
That's coming later, okay? Well, I was going to say Nair. You didn't talk about using Nair. I'm going to be a big red flag nowadays. Do not use Nair.
So yeah, quickly, just to get, again, back into the shaving. So yeah, I was an experimental person. I did wax, I did razor, I did electric, but I also did Nair.
Can you explain what Nair is?
So Nair, the ladies that are listening, and I know there's a lot of you guys listening, are all going to know what Nair is. But Nair is a cream that you put on your skin where there's hair, and you leave the cream on for like 10 minutes. You wipe the cream off and it comes off with your hair and it digs at the root, okay? So that actually is a good option because it doesn't leave like bumps and stuff behind. And I did Nair for quite a while actually. But the only thing about that is I'm just thinking, what am I putting on my skin that is burning hair to the root? So for me, it became more of a thing of like, I don't want to put that kind of chemical in my body anymore. But you know, like if you use Nair and it works good, it works for you, great. Because I never had, my butt never looked as good as when I had Nair.
You never put that on your cheeks or your face.
Yeah. No. Nair is more for.
Yeah. Women use it for their legs. Mostly.
Well, ladies use it for their legs and their. Yes.
I wouldn't recommend using that. That's like the most toxic chemical ever. And if you're trying to be more organic, that is not the way to
there
do
must
it.
Be an organic Nair out there.
I'm sure.
Come on, someone start that.
It's called wax.
Yeah, then just don't go in a hot shower after.
That's right. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah, what's the next topic,
guys?
What's
the next life hack?
Long distance
relationship.
Okay, yeah. So this we both have experience with. So a lot of people might not know this about you guys, but you guys were long distance as well as me and Anne. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were long distance probably for close to the first year that we were together, actually, because Dan was living in London. I was living in Montreal sort of about 3-4 months. And then there was a short period that we came to Montreal, but then he got transferred to Chicago. So we would go Montreal, Chicago. Mm. And so it's never, you guys know, it's never an easy thing, long distance relationship. It is stressful. And it's a lot of, you know, what's going to happen in the future and all sort of stuff. But there are things that you can do, I think, to help long-term relationships. Yeah. One of the ones that I found helped me a lot, and hopefully it helped Dan a lot as well, is planning.
Yeah.
So planning regular calls. And for me, that was really good. So I would wake up really early in the morning. Like at the time, 4:35 in the morning, I'd go to the gym, and then I'd call him when I wake up at 4, which was like 9 o'clock his time, so he was getting into work. So we'd have sort of a 20-30 minute chat and all that sort of stuff, which was good. So we did that every day. We never missed that and all that sort of stuff.
Aww.
So that I found really, really helped. The other thing that I found helped was planning the travels.
Yeah,
because there was always something in the calendar. So I'll see you next weekend, or I'll see you in 2 weeks, or I'll see you.
Good.
And so there was always a plan, whether sort of I'd come to London or you would come to Montreal. I think the sort of planning the future movements, I think was really, really good. It certainly helped me a lot.
I think what we should talk about as well is you guys made it work and there was no FaceTime. There was no half of what we have today, you know. And so if you guys made it work without any FaceTime, it just shows that it can work and it does work. And not to mention as well, I mean, I think to add to that, because Ant and I were long distance as well for like about a year as well. But you know, we had FaceTime, we had all these different things. But one thing that matters the most is you both have to be committed. Mm-hmm. Because if one is not on those phone calls every Monday or whatever, if one is not planning these trips, it's not going to work out.
Well, they can't.
So at the end of the day, you both have to be committed.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't have FaceTime. We didn't have Skype. It was like these mobiles that we had, these huge mobiles.
With an antenna.
And so if
it wasn't that old.
It wasn't that old.
But they said they didn't have cameras.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
And they didn't even have the internet. They just had text messages and phone. That was it.
So you didn't actually see each other.
Well, no, you didn't. That's the whole thing. You call. So, but if it's your thing as well, you can have phone sex.
Oh.
But now with Skype and with FaceTime and all that sort of stuff.
You guys had phone sex back then as well?
I can't remember.
Did that memory get lost in the back of your brain? Yeah. There. Well, yeah, because we used to send each other, well, this is a bit personal, but like...
Bloody hell!
Well, people do it every day now. It's whatever. But because we had the options to send each other nudes, right?
Yeah.
So...
You have to be so careful with that, though. I'm just saying to everybody out there, make sure you know and trust the person you're sending those to, because they could end up on the internet. They could end up as blackmail, everything. I mean, there's some really shady people out there. But it does, I think, work. I mean, you know, I think to all your points, also, one of the things that worked for us is Frank and I were willing to talk about future plans very early on, saying, if this works, here's how we could make it work. So in our heads, there was, it wasn't just felt like a dead end every time we left each other. Because when you leave somebody on a long distance relationship, it's a really painful experience. If you're really in love and, you know, that first intense love that happens, it's really intense when you leave each other. I mean, we almost always were at the airport crying every time.
Oh, yeah, us too. Yeah.
And so it helps if you're both willing to say, okay, you know, this is how we could maybe make it work in the future. You don't have to make commitments or anything like that. But it's always good to start putting some give somebody some hope. And it helps keep that commitment long term.
So short-term like plans that. And long-term plans, I think it's really, really helpful.
I like
the other thing that helped me as well a lot was the support at home. So with your friends and your family. I think it's such a difficult time. It's such a stressful time that to have the support from your friends and your family, you can talk about it, especially when you're coming back from, you know, in my case, Chicago or London, and really feeling down, not depressed, but just kind of feeling down and always a little bit worried about the future, what's going to happen, all that sort of stuff. I think to have that support is really, really important, I would say.
Yeah, my friends were actually really good back home when I would leave aunt or,
have a mental breakdown, being like, oh my God, he's going out.
It's why I only have girlfriends, because they're so emotionally supportive. Like they know how to support when you're emotional. Back on for one more life hack from what Dan said. So when you send, if you're in a position, another life hack for younger gays, if you're in a position where, or even older gays too, that are new to social media and whatever, if you're sending nude images because it's very mutual or whatever, and it just works in that situation, if you send them, send them on Snapchat where it's expiring and people can't screenshot.
No, don't send them on Snapchat because it's against Snapchat's T's and C's.
Okay.
Probably. It's a life hack. Where are they meant to send them? Okay, I'm just saying, do not send them on any threads, on any messages, because that image stays in the chat versus sending a Snapchat, it expires and you can't screenshot a Snapchat. So no one can screen record or screenshot your nude picture and blackmail you with it. That's a way of, I'm just saying, I know you're not meant to, but if you're going to do it and do it safely, that's my point.
Yeah. There's always a level of risk with that.
Yeah.
Especially when things go wrong and people want to be nasty to you.
Yes.
It's a
lot. That's what I mean. So make sure as well, if you're sending nudes, make sure it's someone that you deeply trust and you know. But yeah, so, but if you're going to do
it. Of age of consent.
Age of consent, obviously. But but just be safe about it. If it is a mutual situation and you best want to have fun, like me and Ant want to have fun when we're long distance, do it safely. Do it where the image expires and you can't screenshot. Yep.
And the last thing I would say to that is, you know, have some hobbies because you're going to have a long time. So, you know, go to,
your
mean,
right
hobbies,
hand.
I mean, like.
That's a great hobby. What if they're left-handed? That's not
what I was. It's going to be your best friend when you're not with them.
Okay. Best friend number one? Best friend number two.
But, you know, things like, I know, going to the gym, staying fit, hanging out with friends, going to see movies, that sort of stuff, you know, keeping yourself busy, I think.
Have other hobbies than just sending nudes. I love it.
There you go.
Well, talking about...
sorry, we've just completely disregarded how good of a point that was.
Okay. Yeah, great job, man. You're good at doing that, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I need to be better.
Well, talking about the gym...
Okay, so I can say a little life hack on the gym, and Frank, you have full realm to make fun of me, okay? Just like I did to you. I think all of us in this room right now and everyone listening, we've attempted to go to the gym here and there, but life always gets in the way, and we find like our progression is always in a graph that looks up and down like this. I just find life always gets in the way because we're always like... I want to get a meal plan. I want to get a training program. I'm going to do this and this and this. I'm really good for a week or two. I've got high levels of motivation. Then maybe the motivation goes away. This is the biggest problem that most people find. And I just think the life hack towards life getting in the way is because we have so many other things in life that we prioritize. Mm-hmm. And they do get in the way, and therefore we can no longer prioritize our gym and fitness. And that, so my number one life hack would be to write down what in life you are prioritizing the most, because we all have hobbies, work commitments, friend commitments, family things, and we also all want to go to the gym and look good. But we start way too quickly. We go in 5 days a week. We crush it for the first couple of weeks. But that's because we've put gym and fitness as a priority number one for those 2 weeks. And as that slowly fades, we then reprioritize all the other things in our life that we were used to do.
I think the fitness as well needs to be part of your regular routine of life, you know, like eating, like going to work. Like it should be something that's that's routine, not something that feels like a burden. Oh, I have to go work out and all that sort of stuff. And to get in that mindset where it's actually part of your daily routine, I think is important. And the other thing we're working out, I think, that not many people talk about is rest days.
Yes.
You know, that's so important. Great. It's great to work out, you know, your 3, 4, 5 days a week, whatever. But you need rest days and you need proper sleep, I think, to be healthy. It's not just about working out, but it's about sort of listening to your bodies and having the sort of rest days that's needed to be make sure that you can have that kind of regular workout, I think.
I would say, the rest days are so key to progression. And maybe we write down a list of all of our priorities in life, include fitness in that, but include like family time, work schedule, to-do tasks, everything in your life, brain dump it on a piece of paper and structure it so that maybe your heavy work days and priorities in life, like admin tasks or seeing family commitments, fall when you have a rest day. And then we could maybe have an hour or two a week where we prioritize just one or two sessions.
So I've been probably working out since I was 16 years old, and I still work out today at 57. And I have consistently worked out my entire life. The one hack I would give people over a long time, lifetime of going to the gym and working out is to mix it up. Don't be afraid to try different routines and exercises. You don't have to always go and lift weights. You don't always have to do aerobics. Your body really needs a change once in a while in the kind of workout and exercise that you do. And if you get bored, don't just stop. Just try something different, right? If you're into weightlifting and you're getting really bored and fed up with it, you know, try some aerobic or some strength training or some Pilates for a while. Mix your routine up over the years that you're doing it and keep it exciting.
So to back up on that as well, I think, so for me, I hate the gym. I hate working out. I've never liked the gym presence. So what I've had to do as a hack for myself is find a way to work out that isn't in a gym space. So what I do instead is if I cannot take the tube to go to an event or to go to London, I'll walk. So I walk a lot now. So that's a great sense of cardio. Yeah. I think a lot of it as well is if you're doing it for the purpose of losing weight, I think a lot of it is to do with your diet and what you're eating. So I think it's really good to look into that as well and not just purely focus on the gym and being in a gym space, especially if it's toxic for your life. But as well, another hack that I'm going to say, if the gym is important to you and you really want to start prioritizing, what I do when I want to prioritize things for my life is I'll put them on my phone screen. So my phone's over there, so I can't grab it, but basically have your phone screen be like your everyday priorities, right? And so every time you're on your phone, and people tend to put their phone on like every day, they'll always see it there and it'll force them to go, all right, screw it, I will go to the gym today because kept seeing it on my phone today.
I like that. But the other thing that I find helps me actually, and Dan has the same thing, we have this app, I can't remember what the app is called, but it's it monitors your progress every day. Oh, so in terms of, you know, calories and number of steps that you do and, you know, your number of minutes that you work out. And so we have sort of have my targets daily. And that kind of helps me actually because it reminds me that I need to be doing stuff and some of the rest days that I don't worry about and all sort of stuff. But I think some of the technology that there is out there is actually good to help you kind of make sure that you stay on track and all sort of stuff.
There's the health app on Apple. There's the Nike one. Yeah. There's the one that you use to track your runs.
Well, that's my own app.
There's a lot of... Is it?
Yeah, I've got my own app.
Do you want to shout
you
it
made
out?
An app.
Yeah. We have an app. Oh, it's not on the App Store, but I could get it on the App Store. It's just a website
version. Oh, you told me about that.
I made it 5 years ago, I think. Okay. Yeah. But that has meal plans and training programs and stuff. And it is really helpful, but at the same time, it's not something you need if it's probably something you need when you've already started to incorporate fitness into your daily life and it fits in already because then you can take it to the next step and start tracking it. But I think the hurdle we always miss is actually how do we integrate fitness into our already like daily life and make it work. First of
all. And I think what Nick said is really important for a lot of people to hear is exercise isn't just going to the gym. There are so many other ways that you can get really fit and healthy. And, you know, if there is a staircase in your house, take the stairs, you know, go up and down the stairs 10 times.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
I mean, that's a massive workout. That's like doing on a Stairmaster in a gym for 15 minutes.
Yeah. You know what I mean, it's great. One topic we haven't touched on, which I think is really important, is how to, like, life hacks for gays with dating and sexual life hacks as well. So I'm going to start this topic. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can touch, but one thing that I'm sure a lot of new gays that are listening are going to want to know about is cleaning yourself when bottoming.
Oh.
And it's such a weird subject and people hate to talk about it, and we don't get we don't learn about it in sex ed in school because we don't learn about gay sex at all. We just learn about straight sex and how to use condoms and all that kind of stuff. So one of the biggest insecurities that bottoms have is being clean down there. And I speak to my friends on a daily basis. Well, not my bottom friends, that is. Not about this, but if it comes up, we talk about it. But you know, it's my daily subject. No. But yeah, we talk a lot
there
about
goes the bottom.
Were you clean last night?
Oh, yeah, I was clean.
Oh, yeah,
were you?
I cleaned. But yeah, so it's the biggest security that we have, and a lot of people don't know how to clean themselves down there. So for the bottoms that are wondering how you clean yourself down there before sex, is there's a product that you can buy. They're very, very affordable. They're called Douche. So D-O-U-C-H-E?
E.
E.
It's French.
Thank you, guys. As in
Douche.
Oh, is it? Oh, look at us, French. So there's a product out there that's called a Douche, and you guys can buy these on Amazon, at your local pharmacy, and they're really affordable. I mean, some are like 3-4 pounds, okay? And how they work is it's almost like a stick with holes in it, and there's like a balloon almost that you fill with water.
Yeah.
Don't fill it with super hot water. Do not fill it with super cold water.
That's right.
Fill it with like lukewarm water. So you fill this kind of like bowl up, this kind of jug, and then you attach this stick to it. Make sure you lubricate the stick before inserting.
Okay, can we call it a tube rather than a stick? A stick sounds painful.
The stick is very small.
It's like it's not like a massive thing.
Okay. It's a very thin.
And so, but I'm sure there's a lot of videos out there. There's probably a lot better explanations. But for those that are wondering, you put it up there and you just basically you rinse yourself out until the water runs clear. And so that's the best and most effective way that a bottom won't feel insecure and won't be worried about, you know what I mean, anything. Because, I mean, that is a big worry for a lot of us. And so, yeah, that's...
And I think you should do that not just before getting together, but
yeah,
just a few
and there's
hours
other things
before.
That you can do, like take fiber supplements. So
and
that will
lots
help.
Of hydration.
Yes, lots of hydration.
What about diet? When do you eat last?
Watch what you eat before. I don't want to say don't eat, but like, you know, eat, like watch what you eat. Like maybe don't go for spicy foods. But the point is like also, this is for people that are worried about it and that it's a big insecurity. Because for me, it was for a really long time, right? So it's why I'm saying this. But as well, if you don't feel like doing it and your partner's okay with it, don't feel like doing it. I feel like bottoms always have this feeling that we need to prep ourselves so much and all the tops have to do is just stick it in there and that's their day job done. So do not feel the pressure to do it, but you know, if it's for you and you want to do it for yourself and for your partner, then do it, and that's how you should do it.
Yeah. And there are YouTube videos and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, there are. So don't, I mean, listen, do some deeper research, but just in case people didn't know that was an option, that is an option out there to do it. Yeah.
I would say in general too, I think if you're in a relationship or you're about to sleep with somebody, even if it's a one-night stand, you know, it's okay to have an open conversation about these things. It's okay to say, if you're in a relationship, to ask them to clean or to tell them, ask somebody, the same is true for other parts of male bodies that can get dirty, and some people are circumcised and some people are not. And that's a different experience when they get together. And, I think open conversations in relationships should be a very comfortable thing. You should get to a comfortable place where you can talk about, cleanliness as part of your sexual relationship and not be ashamed of it or not be embarrassed of it. And so I think it's great that you're talking about it in podcasts like this because everybody needs to be able to talk about those things.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. They're real. Yeah.
I think it's a thing tops need to hear as well, not only because they might need to want to experiment with that in the future, or you need to support whoever you're sleeping with, and maybe it's their first time and they don't know and they're willing to have their first time with you, and they might need some guidance or whatever. So I think it's not just for the bottoms. It's for the whole community, really.
Yeah, if you're wanting to try things out.
That's the slogan. It's not just for bottoms.
I thought you were going to use sexy time as opposed to sex.
Yeah. No, people didn't like that last time. They're like, just say sex already. So if you get there, it's because you might have done these things, which is use dating apps and met people that way. So I think we spoke about this a little bit on the last podcast, but yeah, like if you're really wanting to meet people, whether it's for sex or for hookups or
that's
for
the same thing.
No, hooking up is
sex.
Can just be suck. Okay. or to make friends. These apps are really good, and I don't think we have to name them out, but there are so many dating apps out there now. And that's, I think, a good – and use social media, but I think we already spoke about that.
I think we did. Is that – I mean, I've even heard from older people who've gotten divorced. It's kind of become the only way to meet people now, isn't it? I mean, in a way, it's really hard to meet people outside of an app
if you want
to date.
But people are saying it's a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
And that they're over it because
– I don't know anybody that likes using the app. They like the result of it, but nobody likes using it.
Because what if one person's really trying to find a relationship, but everyone you meet on those apps is just there for hookups? It gets – not only is it a full-time job and you're wasting so much of your life doing it, and that's going to get you down and feel depressed. But you're not getting any results, or you're not getting the results you want if you just want a relationship at the end of the day.
I would also add to that, I think you need to be careful with the apps because there's a lot of fake profiles out there, and you need to be really, really careful with that. And when you do meet somebody, public places are always the best if you can bring somebody with you, especially for the younger gays. I think they really need to be careful around that.
So, so important.
And even on their profiles, I think they shouldn't be posting, where they live and all that sort of stuff, because that's too much information.
And so here's another life hack. Careful. Don't go for a blank profile on Grindr.
Exactly.
No, ask for pictures. FaceTime them. Just make sure they're a real person and they're not catfishing you. That catfishing is...
Who would go on a date with somebody that had a blank profile?
Oh, you have
in the
no
comment
idea.
Section. How are you, Dave? Yeah, oh, yeah. Tell
why?
My uncle.
Why are you?
He doesn't
guys?
Believe
Tell
me.
Please.
You're guys. A little disconnected from the community. Okay?
Yeah,
today's generation, I've heard so many stories that people would do that just for the thrill of it. Honestly.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of sad. But some people... Listen, I can't. We can't kink shame as well. Like,
no.
If people are into that, fair enough.
Did you also know that you said about safety and not telling people where you live, but there's a geographical location that scales it down to meters. You can say you're 0 meters away from this person. So that is crazy.
Yeah.
You just scan on your apps looking like this. We were in Miami one time and this guy, we literally just see Grindr on his phone and he's just walking around like this trying to find people.
It's like the Pokemon Go app.
Yeah.
find the blank profile.
There he is.
A dotted line
in the shape of a Pokemon.
Because this blank profile could be hot. So he's like...
That's right. But one last thing that's important as a life hack to, while we're on about sex, bottoming, dating apps, hooking up, every gay, whether you're new into being gay or not, our biggest worry, and especially your guys can relate to this, is catching diseases when having sexual intercourse. So the biggest life hack that we have now, and has only been a thing in the UK since 2020, which is so surprising,
wow,
is a pill called PrEP. And if you are thinking about having sex and want to and don't want to have to worry, my biggest recommendation is to go on PrEP.
Have you heard of PrEP before?
Yeah, we
have I've heard of PrEP. But it doesn't cover all diseases, though.
Well, it covers HIV, and it's not 100% proof, but I think it's like 99 point something percent. So okay. It's quite high. And you do take it before you have sex, and then you do take it after you have sex. So you sort Nick of have to do both.
No, sorry. So that's a fair point. So I think there's an assumption that's how it is. I think it is partly true. So this is I've never been on PrEP in my life, actually. So when I dated Ant, we were both like new to being gay, so we didn't feel the need to take it. Yeah. Also, it wasn't even out in the UK when we met. So
our friend told us about it 6 months ago.
So we've never taken it, but one of my best friends takes it on a daily. So he said there's two ways, okay? So if you're wanting to get into PrEP and you want to have a lot of sex, there's two things. One thing is, if you think you'll be having sex at least 3-4 times a week, take it every day.
Yeah.
Don't risk it. Just take one a day, and it's just part of your daily pills. Like you would take fiber, you would take, I don't know, vitamin C, whatever. Yeah. Just if you're going to have a lot of it, don't worry about the one before, one after. Like just de-stress one every day.
Disclaimer, we are not medical advice. And you shouldn't
No, no, no. This is advice from a fellow gay guy who has a lot of sex. Okay.
I will say it is quite incredible that exists today.
Yes.
Because when we were young, that didn't exist. And we were, every time you had sex, you felt like it was a death sentence. You were petrified. You didn't know if you got, so you can have a conversation with somebody HIV positive. They'd say no, all sort of stuff. But it's, you never, never know. Mm. And so the luxury of having that today for you young folk is absolutely fantastic. You
know, it is, but remember chlamydia, gonorrhea, they're all still floating around.
Yeah, yeah. Just
be multiple safe.
Yeah, safe. That's really good, actually, because I forgot about the other ones.
I just want to make it clear, we do not give medical advice and to consult your doctor, because I think that might have got cut out. But we don't know. This is just like word of mouth or like our own personal experience on how to take it. But did you know that this is probably unheard of in your generation, but people today, it's a turn on to give people diseases, so they will not specify if they have it or not.
Okay, that's a kink I will shame.
I don't understand it, but I think be very, very careful about, you know, these are lifetime things that are going to impact your health over years and years and years. But yeah, I've heard of that too. I don't fully understand it, but I would say just, you know, please be really careful with stuff like that, because a one-time choice, you know, can end up changing your entire future
in life. We don't think about it, but it goes back to all the other points in here. Be safe with who you're hooking up with. Make sure you trust them. Open levels of communication. Like, I think we touched on all the points today that might lead to like solving that.
And if anybody listening or watching today has life hacks that they think we forgot on or think are important to mention, please mention them in the comments. And if you want to find some more, if you're new to being gay, read the comment section.
Regardless, I think that's it. We're all out of hacks today. So comment down some if you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on all the audio platforms, give it a 5-star, like it, whatever you got to do to support the show. And we'll see you all in the next one.
Bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,